What must I do to be saved? We're going through the book of Acts as God leads us in preaching through it. What must I do? What must we do in order to be saved? Saved from hell, saved from eternal damnation, eternal punishment, eternal life separated from God. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 36. Found your place. Follow as I read these verses through verse 40. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. In other words, God got a hold of them. The Holy Spirit of God spoke in their hearts. There's a language of the soul where God speaks to you. He speaks to your heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what shall we do to be saved? What do we have to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That word repent, we think sometimes of feeling sorry and remorseful, but it really doesn't mean that. The original language tells us it means turn around. Repent, turn around. Don't just feel sorry about your sin, but do something about it. Turn around, repent. Have a changed mind. And that's what he's saying. So they said, what do we do? Peter said unto them, repent. Change your mind. Turn around. You're not going in the right direction. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to our children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The word untoward there means this wicked, godless generation. The unsaved. Save yourself from this ungodly generation that's going in the right, wrong direction. Change, repent, trust Christ as your Savior and go in the right direction. Get saved. Don't follow the doomed and damned generation of people. People who will not receive Christ are on their way to hell. They're doomed. They're damned. If they do not have Christ, that's exactly what the Bible says. So Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward, this generation that doesn't want God, doesn't want to hear about Jesus, doesn't want to hear about righteousness and godliness. Repent. Now we've got to deal with verse 38. Look at verse 38 again where he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. There are those who believe and teach baptismal regeneration. They teach that by being baptized, the water in the baptism washes away your sins. And this is probably their key verse that they use because, again, it says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. What shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And so they take that word for there and they use it and they are talking about baptismal regeneration. Now, I cannot change those people. I can't do anything to change most of them. And they are headed in that direction. But all I can do is point them to what God says. And they say the word there, the word for means in order to be saved. In other words, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in order to be saved. Or in order for the remission of your sins. You must have baptismal regeneration to have your sins washed away. for in order to be saved. There's a little problem there, and that is going back to the original language from whence we got our translation, the ancient manuscripts. And it is a little Greek word, E-I-S, and we would pronounce it ice. It's a very important word. It's used throughout the Word of God in the right way, in the right sense. The translators translated it for, but it literally means because of. Now you look at that verse and put the right word in there, and it's because of. Also, in translating it in English, you have the same type meaning that results for that. For instance, we say he is decorated for bravery. A soldier maybe is decorated for bravery. We don't mean he's decorated in order to be brave. We mean he's decorated because. Ice. Because of his bravery. We might say about one of the students, one of our children, he is cited for good grades. But we don't say he is cited in order to make good grades, but because of his good grades, he is cited. That's the same as the word ice. We say he was electrocuted for murder. We do not mean that in order to be electrocuted, he had to murder, but we are saying that because of his murder, because he murdered somebody, he is going to be electrocuted. And so go back to 238. And when he says that in that verse, to be baptized and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin. He's not saying in order for you to have your sins washed away there. That is not what he's saying at all. But he is saying, and it's the word ice, because of the remission of your sin. In other words, because you've trusted Christ, because you're saved, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Ice, because of the remission of your sins. If you don't get that right, you'll be wrong on a lot of counts. I love 1 John 1:7. Listen. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does the cleansing? Not the water, but the blood. It's the blood. We sang about two of our songs about the blood of Christ. God orchestrated that. He didn't know what I was going to preach on today. Unless he sneaked in my office and found my outline, but I don't think he did that. But the Lord knew, didn't he? You see, it's the blood. It's not the water. You could take all the water in the world and lye soap and wash yourself with that all day long. The hardest soap that would be to cleanse your body. That has nothing to do with cleansing you from your sins in your heart and cleansing your soul and getting you ready to go to heaven. Lye soap is not going to help you. The water is not going to save you. That's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing between you and God. It has to do with your sin. It has to do with your spirit and your soul. I can baptize you in water. And I enjoy baptizing people, and I get a little down if we're not baptizing people. I get a little disturbed. I love to baptize people. Baptism is important. If you've been saved, you ought to be baptized. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You don't have to pray about it. You just obey and do what God says. And God will watch over you in the water, however we have to do to get to it. I've baptized people in wheelchairs or in chairs. Get them out of the wheelchair and set them down in a chair and lean the chair backwards. We can handle just about anything. We ought to be baptized. It's important. But by baptizing, you can never wash away one of your sins. Never. Nor can anybody else. When we have the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "This is my water of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." Is that what he said? This is my what? Blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for the remission of sins. We're washed, thank God, by the blood of the Lamb. My sins were dark, and He washed them white as snow, washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Peter was saying. It's the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And back in verse 38 again, not in order to be saved, but because you are saved, ice. And then we're baptized on the confession of our faith. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 10 just a second and drop down to verse 43. Acts 10, 43. The scripture says in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever, I like that word, believeth in him, shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now I want you to notice they were already saved and had the Holy Spirit. You see it? They were already saved and had the Holy Spirit. Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and so on and so forth. They were already saved. They had the Holy Spirit indwelling them. He had sealed them already. And then they were following the Lord in believers' baptism. And so he says, you need to be saved. And going back to verse 40, in that text, where he's talking in Acts chapter 2, he exhorted them saying, save yourselves from this godless generation that's on their way to hell. You do that by believing in Jesus Christ. It is not baptismal regeneration. The water of the baptistry does not wash away one sin. It is a confession of your faith. Now, the Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. All of us are lost sinners. Every message Peter ever preached, he pointed out to people that they were sinners, that they needed to be saved. You're not going to get people saved until you show them they need a Savior, that they're lost. And so we all are on common ground. You know that? Romans 3:23, for all, how many? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this building has missed the bullseye. But we all have sin in our heart. People say, well, when you preach and you go to maybe the Philippines or you're over in India, or maybe you're in Europe, or maybe you're in Paris, or wherever, and you preach, and I've preached in those places and some others. Where do you start? What do you say? It's a different culture. You can always be assured of one thing. Start with the fact that they're all sinners. And preach that you're a sinner, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether in Africa, or the Philippines, or India, wherever it may be, man is a sinner, and they know they have guilt. They are sinful, and they know in their hearts there's that guilt that is there. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by volition. We are sinners by choice. You can take a sinner. It is an education, our culture, or the environment. We always try to, if we can just get people in the right environment, they'll be okay. That's a lie from hell. The environment, Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. And their two boys were in a perfect environment. Same mom and daddy. What happened in that situation? But it isn't the environment. It's not all of those things. You can take an uneducated man. And I know some organizations that are very challenged to do that, and they do good at it, and that's good. But you can take an uneducated man and educate him, and all you have, if he doesn't get saved, is an educated sinner. That's all you have, right? You can also take an uncultured person and work on them a while, like my wife had to do me, and Mrs. Rigsby had to do Brother Rigsby. You can take uncultured people and work on us. Work on that uncultured person, and they can learn a little culture, some manners, how to dress, and so on and so forth. But if that's all you do for them, you just have a cultured sinner on their way to hell. You can take a poor person, give everybody a piece of the pie, socialism. You can take a poor person And that poor person, give them all the money they want, give them all the money they can have, let them win the lottery, rig it so they can, whatever, and let them get all that money and they're rich. But if they don't have Jesus Christ, they're rich people on their way to hell. That's all. That's all. They need Christ. We're all sinners. And we may be educated, cultured, or wealthy, but we're all sinners. And because of that, we all face death and the judgment. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. We all face death and the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, what happens after that? But after this, what? The judgment. We had the health fair here yesterday, and it went over good. It went real well. We had some medical doctors lecturing, and I went to all three of those, try to learn something about my health. But we had one doctor, Dr. Jerry Barker, a medical doctor, oncologist, and I, of all of them, I enjoyed him the most. But I enjoyed all of them. You can tell your boss I enjoyed him. But we enjoyed all of them, but he just touched our hearts with that. But I got so tickled at him once he was talking about statistics. He said, we have some statistics that have come out, and I want to share these with you, you know, and that is this, that 100% of the people die. How many of you didn't know that? Don't raise your hand. 100% of the people die. I'm always amused that I talk to maybe some people in the hospital, and they're so sick, and they're, you know, like 105 years old, and they'll say to me, preacher, I just don't know why God's doing this to me. You're going to die, friend. Unless Jesus comes in our lifetime, you're going to die. There's no way around it, and after this, the judgment. The thing is, we don't know when we're going to die. We do know that we're going to die. I've heard of just recently three or four people, and we would say it like this, they died prematurely. Well, as far as God was concerned, they died on time, but they weren't expecting to die at that early age. And I've buried a lot of people like that. Over these many years of pastoring, I've buried a lot of people like that in 46 years. But I can tell you, we're all going to face physical death. Not only physical death, but there is a second death called spiritual death. Spiritual death, spiritual death. What does that mean? That means if you continue to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior and you die in that condition, you will be separated from God for all of eternity, and you will pay the ultimate and horrible price of being in torment in hell for all of eternity without any end whatsoever. You say, well, I just don't believe God sent anybody to hell. He doesn't. He's opened the door big for you, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. God has made it possible that you don't have to stay spiritually dead. You see, we're all dead spiritually until we get born again. That's why we use the phrase born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, it's a spiritual birth. You are spiritually dead. You have a body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit's dead, and that spirit needs to be quickened and born again. You must be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus got born again. Sorrow of sorrows for somebody to die without being saved. Sorrow of sorrows. Sadness of sadness. It has been my course, my responsibility to preach some funerals of some very ungodly and wicked people. And only God knew, and only God is the final judge, but through their life, what they did and said and everything, everybody pretty well knew they were not saved. They died and went to hell. Sort of hard to find something good to say about somebody like that. It reminds me of the guy that had a lot of money, and his brother was corrupt and everything, and he told the preacher, he said, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll say something good about my brother. And he said, hey, I can do that. So they got to the funeral, and he said, the other brother was sitting right here. He said, I just want to tell you folks, compared to this man, this wicked man right here, his brother was a saint, you know. So he said something good about him, got his $1,000. But some people, it's hard to preach at funerals. I'll be honest. We laugh a little, but I'm telling you, it's hard when you don't know for sure that they knew Jesus Christ. Sadness of sadness, tragedy of tragedies, that we do not get saved and experience the new birth. Now, I can tell you this, God's love and God's grace reaches out to everybody. Everybody. God's love and God's grace is extended to all. Did you know that God's really for you? Did you know that? Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us so. Listen to Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Who's speaking? God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? It makes no sense for you to turn away the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would a man or a woman turn away Christ? God's for you. God wants you. God loves you. God wants to save you. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isn't that sensible? Let's reason together. Come on now and get your sins under the blood. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Snow's pretty white. Why would anybody fail to do that? Then God's way of salvation is always, always provided for us. Thank God he's always provided a way. Way back when there was a flood, God said, I've got a preacher who's going to preach to you for 120 years. You're going to be like some stubborn Baptists, I know, and some of those others out there that won't listen to the preacher. But he's going to preach to you 120 years and tell you that a flood's coming. He's going to destroy the earth. But he's got an ark out there, and he's going to make a big door in the side of it, big enough for a giraffe, maybe had to bow his head and get in, and an elephant to get in, but for sure big enough for a man to go through the door. A door, a way. And so in they went. And in went Noah and his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and theirs and their wives, and they all went into that ark, and God sealed the door, and that time was over. Nobody else could get in the ark. That was it. Here comes the rain, the door is sealed. That's it, my friend. You see, there's a line you can cross if you're not careful. You can cross that line, and God says, that's it. If that's what you want, that's what I'll let you have. If you want to harden your heart, atrophy will set in. And that's why everybody ought to be saved while God's dealing with you. And as long as there's hope, trust in it, there's usually always hope. There was a Passover lamb, and it was all based on the blood, wasn't it? The blood. Jesus, God said, when I see the what? The water? No, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Jew or Egyptian, if they got under the blood, anybody, Jew or Gentile, if they got under the blood, they were saved. They were okay. God always provides a way. There was another time when the snakes bit some of them. The fiery serpents. And it was poisonous. And they were going to die. It's typical of a sinner without Jesus Christ. And they were going to die. And God said to Moses, lift up a serpent, a brazen serpent in the wilderness. And when they look and live. All they got to do is look and live. It's not complicated. They need help. Look and live. And whether it was a Jew or a Midianite, it worked if they looked and lived. Jew or Gentile. You see, God has made the provision, an open door, an open way. There were the arms outstretched saying for you to come in. He had the cities of refuge in the Bible, and people went to the cities of refuge. And there were some who directed him. And there's some over here and some over here, some over here. He's saying, I know, but I want to help you. Come find the city of refuge. Come and find it. It's available to you. God opens the gate to heaven and to the gate of His grace if you'll take it. Now, what do we have to do? We'll close out with this. What do we have to do? Number one, we have to hear. We have to hear. That's what the Bible teaches us. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to hear. Matthew 17:5, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. We have to hear. We have to hear the truth. And it isn't baptismal regeneration. It's the blood. You see, there we have ears in our soul. We have eyes in our soul, so to speak. And we need with the ears of the soul to listen to God as God speaks, and to drown out all the world and all the things the devil's trying to put in your mind right now, and all the things you're thinking about doing this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and next week and your plans and all of that, and drown it all out and listen. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to God. And then secondly, we need to turn. Going back to that word repent in verse 38. Repent. Turn. The road you're going on is leading you away from God, leading you toward eternity, leading you toward death. You need to turn around, have a changed mind, a changed heart, and begin going in the direction that God wants you to go in, and live by this book, by the grace of God. Repent, turn around. And friend, just look God in the face, face Him. There's no reason to be afraid. You know why? He loves you. So I'm afraid to face God. Well, if you die that way, you're going to face Him, and you would rightfully have that fear. But you don't have to be afraid of Him now. Did you know He loves you? He wants to save you. He wants to wash all your sins away. He wants to forgive you. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter what you have done. God wants to save you. We need to turn. No need to be afraid. The Father and the Holy Spirit always point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to accept and believe. Romans 10:9 and 10. You're familiar with these verses, but some of you may not be. But listen, listen, hear what God says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, your mind, your emotional center, we had one doctor did a whole session yesterday on the heart. Very interesting. Study it in the Bible. But it's with your heart, your emotional center, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the minute you do that, the very second you do that, you're saved. If you really mean it, if you really do it. You have a repentant heart. You turn to God and say, oh God, I'm a sinner and I know Your Son died for me on the cross of Calvary, and I trust Him as my Savior. I believe He died and was buried and arose, and He died for me. He paid my sin debt. Something like that. With a heart man believeth. You don't work your way into righteousness. You believe unto righteousness. And then you're saved and you enter the kingdom. The moment I trusted Christ as my Savior as a 9-year-old boy, I was on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. The very second I said yes to Him, it settled it for a time and all eternity. Oh, glory to God for His grace. And then confess. That's another thing the Bible says to do, and that's the outward sign. Listen, Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall what? Confess Me before men. Listen to it. Anybody here ashamed of Jesus? Anybody here not willing to get up and walk down an aisle and say, I identify with Him? No, listen. Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him or her, generic term, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven. If you're willing to confess Jesus down here as your Savior, then He will confess you before His Father, which is in heaven. He'll say, that's right, Lord, Father, that's one of mine. Of course, God already knows it, but I'm just saying, whosoever will confess me before men, there's no doubt about it, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and that is a public, open to everybody that will see it or hear about it. That is your public confession of your faith that you have trusted Christ, believed in His death, burial, and resurrection, and that you are identifying with it in biblical baptism, which is not pouring or sprinkling, but it is death, just like Jesus died and was buried in the tomb, and praise God, came out of the tomb. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection. Biblical baptism is after you're saved, and it's by immersion, a form of confession. Walk down the aisle, openly confess Jesus as your Savior, and God sees it. My friend, when God sees it, He's happy about it. He delights in it. What must I do to be saved? Trust Christ as your Savior. And then by God's grace, hey, Christians, live like it. Quit playing church. Quit playing like you're a Christian. Either you are or you're not. Get with it. Live for Jesus. Clean up what you drink. Clean up where you go. Clean up what you watch with your eyes. Clean up your conversation. Clean up your life. And then dedicate it to the Lord. It's not enough just to clean up. Serve the Lord. Do something for God. Get involved with God's Word. Show that you meant it when you said, I trust Him as my Savior. You meant it when you went down the baptism of water and you said, when I come up, I'm going to a new life. I'm going to live a new life. I'm not going to let the world dictate to me. I'm not going to let other teenagers dictate to me. I'm not going to let university students dictate to me. I'm not going to let anybody dictate to me. Not my culture. Only Jesus. He's the one I'm living for. Is that true in your life? Those around you know that's true. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and we're going to sing a song. And we're going to invite you to come receive Christ as your Savior. His arms are open. He loves you. He wants you to be saved today. Why would you put that off? Why would you not accept Jesus Christ? No reason under the sun good enough. No reason under the sun wise enough. You ought to come today. Christian, if you need to come, come. Whatever your prayer need may be, God knows it. While we sing, will you come? Just step out right now and come. Heads are bowed as we sing together. Come. Come now.